KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies, 71 degrees. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms to fire up this afternoon, a high around 82. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. An accident Thursday afternoon in Fremont County resulted in three people, all from Columbia, Missouri, being transported to the hospital. The Iowa State Patrol said Friday 59-year-old Leo Holden was traveling north on Highway 275 in a Pontiac 2006 G6 when, for reasons unknown, the car left the roadway to the right. When Holden overcorrected, the vehicle entered the east ditch and rolled once, coming to rest on its top. The accident took place around 4:40 p.m. north of Sydney. Authorities say Holden suffered undisclosed injuries and was transported by Tabor Rescue to Nebraska Medicine in Omaha. Two passengers in his vehicle suffered serious injuries and were also taken to Nebraska Medicine. 52-year-old Angelique Holden and 53-year-old Kimberly Overton were transported to the hospital. The patrol says Angelique Holden was completely ejected from the car through the roof. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office, Tabor Rescue, Sydney Fire and Rescue, LifeNet out of Clarinda, and numerous other first responders all responded to the scene. Former Republican Governor Terry Branstad is forcefully rejecting the idea that he tried to force a state administrator to resign 7 years ago because the official was gay.
I was raised by a Jewish mother who was very sensitive to discrimination, and she taught me to treat everybody with respect and dignity. That's the way I've always operated. I've never worried about what somebody's sexual orientation was.
Chris Godfrey was the state's workers' compensation commissioner in 2011 when Branstad returned to the governor's office after a 12-year hiatus. Branstad asked Godfrey to resign, then cut his pay by a third when Godfrey refused. Godfrey filed a discrimination lawsuit in 2012, and the case has gone to trial before a jury this month. Branstad admitted under questioning from Godfrey's attorney on Friday that same-sex marriage was a political flashpoint in 2010, but Branstad testified he didn't know the Iowa GOP's platform called for repealing a state law that provided legal protections for gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual Iowans.
First of all, I've never had any objection to protecting people that have that are gay from being mistreated or discriminated against because of their sexual preference.
Branstad said he did not want prominent Christian conservative Bob Vanderplaats and his running mate in 2010 because the same-sex marriage ban would have been the focal point of the campaign. Branstad, who is currently the U.S. ambassador to China, said he's hosted pride events at the ambassador's residence in Beijing.
Gay people celebrate the fact that they're gay, and they're proud of it. What's going on? It's going on back in China, although China doesn't have quite as open a society as we do in this country.
Branstad, after about 5.5 hours of testimony, broke down in tears on the witness stand as he talked about the honor of serving as U.S. ambassador to China. During the morning's court session, Branstad testified he'd gotten complaints from the business community about the way Godfrey handled workers' compensation matters and wanted to reappoint a replacement. Well, the Grand Falls and Lakeside casinos each agreed to fines for gambling violations Thursday at the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission meeting. Commission Administrator Brian Orico says that the violation was discovered at the Grand Falls in Larchwood when a minor was stopped from entering the gambling floor.
As part of that process, the minor had indicated that he had been on the floor previously. Grand Falls conducted a review of their surveillance coverage and did confirm that that minor had made his way onto the floor in the early morning hours, was on the floor for 70 minutes, gambled.
Orico says the male minor was not challenged by security in the first visit.
It was noted that Grand Falls did self-report the violation. However, because of the nature of what had occurred, would call for an administrative penalty, and Grand Falls agreed to pay a penalty in the amount of $20,000.
He says this is the second violation by Grand Falls in the last 365 days, which is why the penalty was $20,000. A third violation in the same time period would result in a $30,000 fine. The penalty for the Lakeside Casino in Osceola resulted from a violation of the rules for gamblers who have banned themselves from the casino.
There was an individual that was on the statewide self-excluded list. That patron had contacted Lakeside and informed them that they were receiving promotional mailings. If someone is on that statewide self-exclusion list, they are not permitted to receive marketing material.
He says that the investigation by the casino determined it was not a single incident.
It also confirmed that there was a specific email list that went out, and 36 other individuals received promotional mailings.
Orilco said the improper mailings came from a promotions company hired by the parent company of Lakeside.
Part of that process, the screening mechanism was not working correctly. And so the situation has been rectified. Commission staff is comfortable that that this will not occur again.
It was the first violation by Lakeside in the last 365 days, and the casino was fined $5,000. Two psychiatric experts testifying in a lawsuit against the Iowa Human Services Department say the use of isolation and restraints at the state school for delinquent boys can be psychologically damaging to them. Psychologist Andrea Weissman testified in U.S. District Court in Des Moines that a Velcro and leather contraption called the wrap, used to restrain boys at the state training school for boys in Eldora, is akin to a torture device. The class action lawsuit filed in November 2017 by two advocacy groups says the school is failing to provide adequate mental health care to the boys. The Des Moines Register reports the state administrators say the facility tries to minimize the use of restraints and isolation. The school superintendent, Mark Day, told the judge that he and his staff try to make the school feel more like a campus than a prison. The adoptive grandmother of a Central Iowa teenager who starved to death faces new charges of trying to escape prison. KCCI said the 64-year-old Carla Boozman was in court Thursday morning to face a charge of escape. The Iowa Department of Corrections says Boozman walked away from the Iowa Correctional Institute for Women in Mitchellville in early May. Authorities nabbed her about a half a mile away from the facility, where she's serving a 20-year sentence for her role in 16-year-old Sabrina Ray's 2017 death. If convicted of the escape charge, Boozman faces an additional 5 years in prison. She's pleaded not guilty, and her next court appearance is set for July 11th. Boozman was in prison last year after pleading guilty to neglect of a dependent person and six other charges in connection with the teen's death. She admitted that she locked Sabrina's two sisters in a room with the girl as she was dying. She also admitted concealing evidence after Sabrina died. Authorities have released surveillance video showing a suspect violently ramming a truck into equipment at an Iowa City business lot before police officers shoot him. Johnson County Attorney Janet Linus ruled that the two officers were justified in firing their weapons May the 9th at Michael Cintron Caceres, who was shot to death, or rather shot in both shoulders, but survived. Linus said that officers were inside the fenced-in lot rightly behind their lives were in danger, believe their lives were in danger, and she says they were at risk of being hit by the truck or crushed by the equipment that was ramming. He was ramming into. Cintron Caceres was an armed robbery suspect who was on probation. Early on May the 9th, he fled from officers who were investigating burglaries at two businesses. Officers chased him into the Big Ten rental lots, where he was found on the floor of a Ford F-450 truck. Instead of complying with officers, he got into the driver's seat and started the vehicle before repeatedly ramming into larger trailer and other equipment. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.